Warning, this podcast is not safe for work, home, school, kids, pets, anyone, or anything that is squeamish, easily offended, or overly religious. You have been warned. Welcome to Rob's Basement, where we drink beer while playing, testing, and talking about all things Schwab Entertainment. If you make it to the end of the podcast, please share and comment.
Welcome back to Rob's Basement for the third episode, I think. Maybe fourth or fifth, who knows? Tonight we are short a few people due to various and sundry health issues. Cecil is having his scalp repolished, and Troy is currently getting a milk bath. So tonight we're going to do something different than we did the last two episodes that involved this band of ne'er-do-wells. And we're going to start over sort of with a group of new characters. We're going to give a brief survey of what we're playing, and then we'll get started. So why don't we start with Dan, who's playing
Dugan Stonecarver, an old dwarf who has recently left the mountain to see the world. He's very much a get-off-my-lawn kind of guy.
All right. Steve?
I am playing Gunnar, a young adult warrior dwarf. Who spent much of his childhood helping his father as an arms merchant.
I like it. And Greg?
Short, brief, and I'm playing Lilith, a human female teenager who grew up poor in a town and is a magician.
All right. And finally, Eric.
I'm playing a clockwork spell guard named Shelf. He was created to be a translator and can read and write the dark speech. He escaped from his creator.
Right. Okay. So we're moving on. Like you all at home to think about the clockwork who is my main job. He's like the anti-C-3PO. It's like, I know one language, and by speaking aloud the word, the vocabulary, I will bring about the end of all things. But I mean well, and I can speak bocce, too. So that's what we have here with our clockwork, who is a dark speech translator.
There's more to his backstory, but we're being brief.
We are. I did go off the rails there for a moment, but that could have something to do with my unending level of cynicism and self-loathing that seems to afflict me at all turns. Okay. Well, now that we've covered that, you guys know each other, obviously, because your group levels too. And the reason why you know each other is because you survived the horrors of the imperial capital of the empire collapsing in itself. And you guys were, you helped some refugees get out of the province into the neighboring Holy Kingdom. And you have, and your first experiences were all about trying to get out. And so you have been in this refugee camp for a while. We're going to say it's been 2 months. And there are whispers that the orc armies are on the march, and that indeed they have invaded Tyr and have killed Horus, the heir apparent of the Empire, the human heir, for the long line from the first emperor and so on, which, of course, creates a lot of nervousness and fear and loathing here on the edges of the Holy Kingdom. Now, where you are in the Holy Kingdom, as I said, you're just across the border. And here you see there is, you're in an encampment that's being protected by about 5,000 Holy Kingdom soldiers. They are being led by the clergy, as the Holy Kingdom would do. Soldiers are outfitted in chainmail, and they've got white cloaks, and they've got the tabards that show the Ouroboros serpent eating its tail on the fronts. And they're all very stern and very pious men and women. And they're all very, very proud of the fact that they've got beliefs they can cling to in these dark times. But you guys have been kind of huddled down in the refugee camp, which is a group of about 10,000 people who have fled from Kakris and have made it across the border. And they're relying on the protection of these folks. We'll just take a moment to kind of talk about what you have done for the refugees while you're living in this camp. Why don't we start with Shelf? And please maybe look at something other than translating dark speech.
Well, yes, he also has another profession. Well, he has the soldier profession and scholar of magic.
Nice. Okay.
He would have helped protect the group as they crossed the border. He hasn't really offered his services as a scholar of magic to the Holy Kingdom, because even though he doesn't think the dark speech is bad, he knows that other people do. So he's kind of kept that to himself. But he's kind of kind of like the big brother to everyone.
All right,
making sure everyone's okay.
And we'll see. I think you probably have lots of little brothers that are kind of clinging around you.
Sure.
and turn your crank. I mean your key.
Oh, he doesn't have any facial features, so that's kind of
right.
weird.
Right. Okay.
It's a little offsetting.
What are you doing, Lilith, during your time here in this refugee encampment?
I'm only 13, so I'm probably making sure all the other little kids are taken care of and things like that.
Okay, so you're attending to the kids.
Gunnar has spent time as a soldier and a tracker, so he's probably helped track up some game and whatnot, help feed the refugees, as far as also protecting and whatnot. He has spent some time as an arms merchant with his family, so bartering and whatnot has been part of his things that he's just good at in general. So
cool, that
just
works.
Helping people out.
And Dugan?
Well, Dugan basically stands around as many important people as he possibly can, trying to listen and learn about the outside world. Always happy to interject, whether wanted or not, with his scholarly knowledge of etiquette, heraldry, and law, in addition to dwarven tactics of war.
Okay, cool. All right. So, yeah, as I said, you've been here for we'll call it 3 weeks since you managed to get out of Kakris before the things really went sideways. And during that time, you've been engaged in your various activities, attending to kids, listening to important people and trying to ingratiate yourself with them, hunting, tracking, bartering, and also translating dark speech for the random speakers of dark speech that happen to be living in this community. Or soldiering and being a big brother. So you've done all this, but you've also, all of you have kind of heard rumors, well, I've not only heard rumors, but you've seen firsthand that there is some sickness that has been plaguing, two ends of there, this camp for a while, and that there maybe that some of the sickness has to do with poor sanitation or something, but people are falling ill. That's the first thing you've noticed, and maybe some of you might have been engaged or known people who have passed away, succumbing to whatever foul pollution is running roughshod over the locals. The other thing you've also heard, and since Dugan, you have been rubbing elbows with the rich and powerful and elites, you've also heard that there is talk that there was another band of refugees that are expected to come to the camp. And you believe that one of them includes a fairly famous member of the Red Cloaks, the House of Healing, who would certainly be able to chase off whatever this plague is that is afflicting this settlement.
Do the guards have any plans to go meet the incoming refugees?
From what you're asking around, you find out that there was a small expedition, a small force that was sent out to try to escort them in. Mm-hmm. But they were sent out 3 days ago, and there have been no signs, no pigeons have come back, or crows, or whatever bird that you might attach a message to, big or small, has not made its way back this way.
Ostriches work nicely.
They do. They don't fly very well, but...
Does it look like the people in charge are worried that they haven't heard yet, or does it appear that they are just going about everything else because there's only a 2-to-1 ratio of guards to sick people kind of thing?
Well, there's really almost a 2-to-1 ratio of sick people to guards. But what you're kind of getting a sense from as you're making your way around the camp, you're getting a sense there is some concern because the disease is not responding to whatever treatments they have. There aren't enough healers or of people of strong enough faith to be able to combat the disease, at least at a miraculous level, even though they had made some inroads there, but not enough to be able to stave off Father Death, who seems to be walking from tent to tent to claim his due.
Dugan attempts to cure one person a day.
Sure.
That's all I'm allowed to do.
Shelf is probably carrying the bodies to whatever burn pit they have, because... He can't be diseased.
Right. Okay.
So he's helping out that way.
Well, the situation's looking fairly dire. You think that the body count is approaching, the casualty count is approaching 10% of the total and climbing.
Is there any common denominator on people that are dying? I mean,
young.
It's anybody. Can be okay.
And the symptoms present themselves as high fever, lots of shaking, and then usually towards the end, mad laughter that eventually gets to the point where their face contorts into a weird rictus grin and their eyes roll back and they fall over dead.
What are they calling this disease?
They're calling it the giggling fits, which was my stage name in 1973.
Curiously, clockworks can't laugh either.
Especially not when you want to look out faces.
That's going to be the name of my first novel. Making the clockwork laugh. Okay.
I thought you already had a first novel.
We have to talk about it.
All right. I'll zap somebody with a cure spell once a day and keep doing what we're doing.
All right. Well, it's getting late in the day. It's been a couple of weeks of fighting the disease and also seeing to the locals when you hear a commotion coming from the edge of the camp. A lot of shouting, and then you see some soldiers making their way to the edge of camp.
I tell the young ones nearby to go back to your tents. I kind of motion my friends to go check it out.
Aye, that's a good idea. Let's do it, lad.
All right, you all go to the edge of camp, and you see there gathering, coming into the camp itself, is a line of bedraggled, broken, blood-stained, injured people who have suffered unspeakable atrocities as they've made their way out of the capital province into the Holy Kingdom. There you see the marshal, who you've met. Mm-hmm. He's promptly ignored you after your first meeting. But his name is Marshal Conrad. He is the leader of this particular encampment. You're several marshals that run different camps all along the edges of the border as they're kind of building up to war. To throw back the orc host if they decide to invade. You also see an inquisitor named Paulus, P-A-U-L-U-S. And he is dressed in the black robes of his office, but he is not wearing his skull mask since he's not going to interrogate anybody right now. And then you also see a priestess of the new god. That she's actually a hammer, which they are the militant crusader types. And she's dressed, she's outfitted in gold-trimmed full-plate armor, carrying a giant freaking hammer. Her hair is pulled back into three braids that hang down to the middle of her back. The armor has angelic figures embossed on it.
Shelf looks at his own war hammer and has hammer envy.
Dugan looks at his braids and has braid envy.
Her name is Sarah.
So does this look like the refugees that we were expecting?
Well, there are refugees.
Yeah.
And you see that Sarah, who you know Lilith because you overheard someone talking, was that she was the one who spoke highly of the Red Cloak who was supposed to be part of them. She seems to be looking over this crew closely to see if she can spot her friend. But there doesn't seem to be anybody who's got the red hand tattoo on their face or the indicator, the cloak that would indicate there's affiliation with the particular organization.
I go up to the how many refugees are we talking here?
You're looking at about 35.
Okay, so I just start walking into them. I'm like, are you diseased? I start checking them for disease. Because if they're diseased, we have to separate them. So I start checking them for symptoms of the giggling fits.
All right, no one's laughing. No one's but shaking.
Fevers.
And you're not... hard for you to tell if someone's generating a lot of warmth. But nobody looks really sick. A lot of people have broken bones or lacerations, exhaustion.
Definitely should keep them out of the area, but get them somebody working on the level. The little injuries.
To allay their fears as I approach them, I say, don't worry, I'm not a doctor, but I do carry bodies to the pit. Let me check you for disease.
And of course, it's being said by a faceless guy who translates dark speech.
They don't know that language. Part.
The little kids have a sign at a hundred.
Hold it again.
They've written something across his face. you got a big Sharpie cock.
Ask this guy what dark how to say fuck off in dark speech. All right, so Sarah is also questioning some of the refugees, and she's asking after her contact, which was named Philip, and it turns out, from which you can kind of pick up, that they were waylaid 2 days ago on their way here by a bunch of orc raiders.
Which side of the border?
The Kakris side. You're right on the Holy Kingdom border. So 2 days in back into that country. And she starts arguing with the marshal to see about sending out a force to get them back.
Well, as their argument, I've completed my inspection and found no disease, right?
That is correct. Well, you do find a very interesting case of turnips.
So I having completed my inspection, I'll go towards where they're arguing, and I'll say, Marshal, I have completed my inspection. I've found no disease among the new refugees.
Thank you. And he goes back to arguing with Sarah, saying that we can't afford to send out a force into obviously dangerous countryside or provoke the orcs in an engagement. And they continue to argue.
I just stand there turning my no face towards one than the other, watching the conversation like a tennis match.
How close are they to us?
Yeah.
As close as I am to you right now, which is in your lap.
Oh. For those listening at home.
Right. No, I mean a few feet.
Well, what about a small group?
I'll walk over to Dugan and I'll be like, do you think they would give us a reward if we went out and looked? Yeah, Shelf has a rapport. Shelf probably could try and hook us up with a fee to go and like, scout out for these vile bastards.
Why don't you go offer our services for a reward to go look for survivors?
I nod and say, Marshal, we would like to go look for the survivors in exchange for monetary coin.
That worked out great.
Monetary compensation? Yes.
That's what I said, yes. Right,
of course. Sure.
Pretend that's what I said.
We're all pretending, all of us together. He seems to think about it for a moment, and he says, you know, I think that might work. Why, I never even thought about sending a small force into this heavily armored and occupied land. We should certainly send a small force. Do you think you could do it by yourself? I would be happy to pay you out of my personal funds. I was saving up to get my children braces, but I've got enough money that I can make sure that you are loaded in grease to keep your inner workings working without making any noise.
How much money do we need? I turn to Lilith and say,
well, we can't send a little girl out there. What are you talking about? What's wrong with you? We have to go back to the drawing board.
Well, she'll be accompanied by myself and the...
Oh, well, of course, that's fine. I'm sorry, I forgot.
You remember me, Marshal. We've talked on many occasions about dwarven tactics being helpful in your time of need.
Right, Dugan. You have offered many insights into how we can conduct this war, and you certainly have shown us every place we've done things wrong. Maybe, says Sarah, that it would be best to send Dugan and his little friend Gunner, not little... In a other disparative way, but a little bit younger, right? My best friend's mom always said when I went to her house, Sarah says, I was shaving at this point, and she still called me one of my best friend's little friends.
Like shaving what?
So maybe Dugan and Gunner could take
Shelf,
and at least see if they could follow the trail.
Well, yes, we can do that.
Gunner's a tracker.
The marshal starts to say something about Lilith going again, and Sarah just shakes her head.
I slip, like, back away and just slip back out.
All right, and we will...
Where were they captured?
2 days.
Well, Sarah says again, and I'm not going to do her voice because it's lower and sultrier than mine. Sounds like someone's dropping a bag of gravel into a porcelain toilet. That's what it sounds like.
Sexy.
Yeah. She says that, from what I've been able to tell, that they were ambushed by raiders of some kind about 2 days on foot. These people are probably moving maybe 3 miles an hour. So they're probably only going about 10 hours a day at most before they'd be exhausted. 60 miles.
Then, Marshal, we need some horses to get that far quickly. Can you let us borrow some horses so we can...
Of course. Yes, naturally. We've got plenty of horses. In fact, I'll give you my personal steed. It should be able to bear your unusual weight.
Excellent.
All right. So they give you a big, giant war horse. Nice. And three regular horses for you three.
I pet the horse and ask what the horse's name is.
No, sir.
No.
That's his name.
That's what he says to you.
The horse?
Just no, sir.
No.
Oh, hello, horse. I'm Shelf.
Nobody even gets that look.
Dugan just starts riding off in the direction that we need to go.
Yeah, I follow Dugan.
If no one follows, he'll just go to some other encampment. If no one follows, he'll continue on the quest.
Yeah, I'll follow Dugan.
Okay, so Dugan takes kicks his kneeless heels into his horse's flanks and goes down the path that was left by the people, the refugees who came last. Do you find everybody else follows?
Oh, yeah. Well, now that I'm properly acquainted with the horse,
the giant war horse is making his way down the road, but he's giving you the stink eye. Horse is looking back over his shoulder periodically just to look at you. Every once in a while, you see those lips move. No, sir.
Well, I'm jealous of his lips, but I have none.
Dark speech. No, sir.
It's a dark speech. You're pretty sure it's a dark speech, too. Right. Of course it is. You're able to translate horse and dark speech. It's a gift. All right, so it's night when you guys take off, and it's full on dark after you finally get saddled up and provisioned. You have enough food to get you there and back again. As well as water, the clockwork has plenty of pork filling to do what he needs for clockworky things. But you're making your way down the road. Also, make sure you guys give yourselves 2 healing potions each.
I already have 4.
Well, now you've got 6.
Can these new ones be in syringes also?
No, they're not in syringes.
It's the only way to take healing potions once you start having silver.
Oh, I forgot my interesting thing was a cart with a sad donkey. He'll stay at the camp.
Why did you need a horse? You had a cart with a sad donkey.
Well, the donkey is sad. He can't pull me.
Right. Moving on. As you're going down and no sir the horse is giving you a look, you hear the bray of your sad, sad donkey emanating from the encamp where you left him, with a lot of children making fun of him and calling him donkey names. You get eventually outside of earshot of the camp and the torment of your poor donkey and the also unnamed cart, and you make your way down the path to where you, in direction that you were given by the refugees.
Is there a path of beat down grass?
Yes.
And 35 refugees bleeding everywhere?
This is a hilly countryside. It's grassy hills, the occasional rock that juts up like a weird tooth. Here and there, a few ruins speckled. As you're coming down from the hills into the flatlands that make up Kakris proper, you're able to see more of the countryside, although it's getting dark, and Tartarus is rising and casting its red, lurid light all over the countryside. Give me a perception challenge roll with 1 bane.
12.
Nope.
See, boys, when you're old like me, you're used to looking out around, so your perception score succeeds.
No, I have a 10.
All right, well, as you're kind of coming down the slope, you see there is a burned-out farmhouse that is up on your right. And the house, you all notice the farmhouse. That it's kind of hard to miss because there's still smoke coming off. But even though it's night, it's still pretty visible, and you're maybe 100 yards off from it. But you think you saw some movement coming from that farmhouse around that area. Again, you're 100 yards away from it. What are you going to do?
How far away are we from the refugee encampment we just left?
You are maybe a half a mile.
Okay, so pretty recent. Keep going, unless someone stops us.
Yeah, unless there's
something up there. There's something up there.
I just stay with them.
But you got it too?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's some movement up there. We should go and look. It might be one the straggler that fell off injured.
It's possible.
Sure.
Yeah. Is our path towards the house or?
You're kind of just making you're following whatever trail they left, which you're able to kind of follow it fairly well because there were 35 of them, mm-hmm. And it seems like it kind of passes by this area.
Okay. Yeah. Let's head off towards that house. Keeping our path still, obviously, well in sight.
Okay, so you're closing into the house. 80 yards, 60 yards, 40 yards, 20 yards.
So how do you say it's still smoking? Like,
yeah, so what you can see, the house itself has 2 of its 4 walls are intact. The roof has all fallen in. You can see the back wall of the house is facing you. The side wall of the house is also relatively intact. All of the glass is all shattered out. Smoke's coming out from the wreckage in the middle where the outer walls have caved in. There are a couple outbuildings that are still intact, including an outhouse and a small barn.
Barn doors are open. As we get closer, I'll try and see how... I mean, was this like a recent fire?
Still smoking, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's... The marshal didn't say anything about a burned house.
You are correct.
On the way in. So maybe this happened after they passed by.
That's a possibility also.
We should check it out.
I think I agree.
All right, you're still on your horses.
Yeah. I'll ride up to the house.
Ride up to it.
Yeah. I'll tell no, sir, I would like to get off.
Okay, so you guys are kind of rounding to the front of the house where the walls have caved in. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you round the house proper, and you see as you come around the edge of the house, and you're getting ready to tell him, "No, sir, I want to get off." There are five humanoid figures. They look like orcs. Two are watching three do something else. The three they're doing something else. They are hacking apart the bodies of something. And the two in the back are laughing. They're all carrying crude axes. And they eyes snap up and look at you. And one of the orcs, who is wearing a male shirt but has the nipples cut out of it, is kind of rubbing his torso in anticipation of the coming violence.
Oh, boys, look at those fuckers! We should take them apart like we did this family! Oh, what do you say? Yeah, fuck Drudge! Fuck the humans!
And they surge forward. Fast turns.
Shout, what happened? Do you know what happened to the house?
All right, I'm going to take my Warhammer and smash one of these fuckers upside
down. Right, so you're going to charge forward to close the distance?
Sure. We're like Warhammer brothers.
That's right.
Now, you're on a horse still, yep. So... that's no problem. So you're charging, so one bane of your attack roll.
Okay. And 13.
13? All right, so your horse goes riding by this guy. You swing your warhammer to try to catch him. He ducks under the way and starts laughing. Anybody else going in fast?
Yeah, I am. I've got a 17 against its will.
You got one of its wills.
For the next minute, one of them must choose for each round whether to take a d6 damage or be compelled for one round.
Who'd you cast?
Obedience. And every round he makes a choice to either take damage or
do
what I tell him.
Okay.
I'm going slow.
Anybody else going in fast once, twice, three times later? All right, so we've got you're up there in the scrum because you charge forward, the rest of them, and then you guys are all kind of hanging back. So two of these guys are going to go for you and your horse. One's going for your horse, one's going for you. They like to eat whatever they can get. And the other three are charging forward to engage the three of you. So we'll start with the two that are on you. Here we go. 19 defense.
Yep.
Take 13 damage.
Holy shit.
And that is a 19 again.
Yeah.
For 9 damage. on your horse.
Okay.
Oh. 13 on you, 9 on your horse. And you've got the horse stats in your book, right?
I get it.
Okay. Then we have the ones that are charging forward. We'll start with one of Dugan. That is a 17 defense. All right, let's call it high or low first, though. High or low?
High.
Okay, so it's coming for you instead of your horse.
Okay.
Dugan, please enjoy 9 damage.
I have enjoyed it. Great.
Coming for Lilith. Call it high or low?
Low.
Coming for your horse takes 10 damage. And then on shelf, call it higher level.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, it's going to be a horse thing too. That's a 13 against your horse's defense. We have that?
Yeah, defense is 11.
All right, so your poor horse takes 9 damage as well. All right, so the orcs are not using tactics at all. They're just chopping into your horses.
Hacking and slashing.
Hacking and slashing. Mm-hmm. All right, that takes it to slow turns.
Does my horse get to attack?
You're riding your horse. I believe you share an action. So you can use your action while you're riding it to make your horse attack.
The mounted combat rules, Rob.
I got him right here. It's like Ragu. Right. You and your mount take turns together, and you share a single action. You can use an action to attack, or your mount can make an attack. Your choice. You can choose to have you and your mount attack the same action, but each of you make your attack rolls with two banes.
Right. Shelf says, no, sir, no, you gotta get away. And I hop off, no, sir, try to get in this guy's face and attack him on me.
Use my action. Go ahead.
Okay. My Warhammer. I know. Excited about this Warhammer brother thing. All right, that's going to be 19 to hit. That's
all day long, all day strong.
Takes 12 damage.
Greg, give me six D6 damage, by the way.
One.
All right.
What is the orc who is run up on Mr. Dugan wielding?
He's wielding a battle axe. His hair has been spiked up into great orange stalks.
All right. He's
got a cornfield on his head.
I'm going to slide down off of the back of the horse, kind of putting the horse between me and him.
Of course.
And I'm going to cast Bolt Thrower. And I'm dropping a Bolt Thrower on the ground right here.
All right. Bolt Thrower is assembling. Anybody else going to take a slow turn?
Yeah.
All right. Well, your horse is going to get your no sir is a war horse.
Yeah.
And he says in dark speech.
No, sir.
No, sir. He's going to kick the shit out of the horse that just the orc that attacked you. So he does that with a roll of 25 total. And that orc takes 3 damage. And that orc is now injured. All right, that takes to the end of the round. Nothing else is happening. Back to fast turns.
End of the round. Bolt Thrower shoots at the end of the round.
Go for your target.
Thanks. I'm going to read this damn thing. Last duration to at the end of each round. Yep. All right. And so he's going after the orange spiky guy who made bad life choices. That's a 23.
All day, please.
All right. Is that a crit for you?
Is it a crit? Is it 0x5 or more?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Extra dice damage. Thank you, Eric. 7 damage.
All right. He takes a bolt. He shrinks in pain, but he is still on his feet. Anybody else going to go on? That was the end of the round. Yeah. Back to fast turns.
Fast turns, yeah. I'm going to put the Warhammer in this guy's face.
Do it.
Because I'm jealous he has a face and I don't.
Yeah. Correct that after.
So on a slow turn, I can have my horse move and I can cast.
Yep.
Natural 20. Nice. It's going to be 23 total.
Mm-hmm. That's by 5.
Yes. So as part of my my Spellguard strike, I'm going to cast Recall Past Success. Doesn't do anything right now. Basically, I crush this guy in the face and then cast the spell. He'll take 9 damage.
All right. He is dropped.
Nice.
Kill him. Nicely done. There are 4 left.
One on me. I'm sorry. I'm going on slow.
Okay.
You going to go fast?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
That's a bang, right? Can I jump off of my horse on one of these guys?
Yeah.
Sweet. Do I still have the bane, though?
You wouldn't have a bane. You're in the mix.
17?
Yes.
15.
15 damage. Nicely done. He's still up, though. Hey, he's injured. Anybody else going fast?
Yeah, I'm going to go on fast. I'm going to cast Fault in Steel on the battle axe that the orc is wielding in front of my horse.
Okay.
Nothing happens until he deals damage with it. At that point, it disintegrates.
All right. Everybody else going on fast?
I'm going on slow.
Okay. The one that's on you, he's going to attack. You're behind your horse
now. I am.
All right, so he's going to chop at your horse. That's a 26.
That hits.
Is your horse injured?
Not been touched yet.
Your horse takes 10 damage.
Target is a weapon. The next time it deals damage, the weapon takes damage equal to its health.
All right, so his axe shatters on the horse's body, and the orc is now unarmed. I'll see how long that lasts. All right. We've got 2 on Gunner. You jumped off your horse, so they're going to just gang up on you.
All right.
Are you injured?
Well, I mean, I've been hit, yeah.
That's a 23-26.
I am a half.
You are okay. So 26.
Yeah,
it is. Take 7-9 damage.
Nope. That puts me at death's door.
All right, so you drop to the ground. The other orc is
feeding frenzy.
Just check the time. All right, so the other orc is going to run over and attack the one that attack Dugan from the other side. So he'll take a ban on that attack roll. Dugan, that's a 16 defense.
That is a hit. He sucks.
Take 11 damage.
All right, Dugan falls over.
All right.
What? God damn. It's up to you and me, Lilith.
I'm going to ignore the obedience thing, so I'm going to go ahead and take 26 damage.
4. Sorry. 4 points.
Okay. And I'm going to attack you.
Okay.
But I missed.
All
That brings us to the end of the round.
Slow turns. I'm going to have my horse move, and I'm going to cast.
All right, I'm going to trigger a free attack against your horse. Is your horse injured, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, that's going to be a 13 against your horse's defense.
Defense level.
Your horse takes 9, 12, 14 damage.
My horse drops.
Okay, and because you're on a horse when it drops, something fun happens. Almost there, I promise.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Make an agility challenge roll.
11.
All right, so you're fine. You managed to avoid being crushed by your horse.
Okay. Do I still get to cast?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm casting Spectral Grasp on that one.
Okay.
6 points. Mm-hmm. And he attacks with a Bane for one round.
Okay. Anybody else?
Bolt thrower at the end of the round.
End of the round.
22, 26.
26. I'm going to go for a target that's actually carrying a weapon. So go ahead. Roll damage.
11 damage.
All right. You take out another one. One of the ones that was on Gunner.
How many orcs are left?
You've got one unarmed, one armed and fresh, and one armed and pretty fresh.
Okay.
All right, end of the round. Any fate rolls from Dugan and Gunner?
Roll 2.
18.
Fate rolls a d6.
Oh. So I rolled 3d6 and I got 18. 2.
Okay. All right, that takes the end of the round. That was that. Faster.
Not smoking.
Fast. Warhammer in the face again.
Okay.
On, I guess, the nearest one. Whoever that is, I don't know. I killed the one I was tagging. Oh, and recall past success triggers now, or it gives an effect. Basically, I take a moment to remember how awesome it was to smash that other orc in the face with the Warhammer. I'm like, let's fucking do that again. And I get 2 boons on the roll.
Great.
Nice. That's going to be a failure. It's a natural one. Maybe let's see.
You blew your load right before you slung.
Your definition of awesome and minor.
7, 10?
No, that is a complete and total miss. But good effort, good effort.
Yeah.
You're prone, by the way.
I'm prone?
Yeah, because you fell down.
Is it an action to stand?
It's your movement to stand. Okay. So you have to wait
till
slow.
Then I'll wait till a slow turn. Is he going to ignore the obedience again?
Oh, yeah.
3 more points.
If he was obedient, he would still be fighting for Drudge. All right, my fast turns. I'm going to go ahead and chop you while you're down. Are you injured?
No.
You probably will be. 28 defense?
Yeah.
9 damage.
Okay.
Then we've got one unarmed. He is going to wait till slow. The one that's armed is going to go for you. That's a 23. For a measly 4 damage.
Take it.
All right, slow turn. Anybody else?
Slow up. Standing.
Okay.
And casting on the one on me.
All right.
19.
19. You strike him. With your spell.
That's against his strength?
Yep.
And he takes a -5 to his health for 1 minute.
Oh, nice. That does not drop him, but he's close. Thumbs up. All right, so he shrieks in pain, and you see his whole body kind of crumple up, and he tries to shake it off as best as he can, but he's still going to press the attack. Anybody else? That should be it for slows. My one guy goes, moves, he scoops up an axe, and is coming for the clockwork.
Yeah. Saw that coming.
16 defense.
That will hit.
Take 10.
All right. So when he hits me with his axe, my body immediately starts to repair all that damage. Cast negate harm as a trigger.
It wouldn't have made a difference. I was going to say, did you give him a bane when he attacked me? But I don't think it would
have made a difference.
Yeah, as soon as he pulls his axe out, the wounds heals up.
And you were prone anyway, so that he got an extra boon for that. All right, so that's great. All right, so you managed to withstand death. Bolt thrower, please.
17 plus 9, 26.
Yep.
6, 9 damage.
9 damage. All right. That bolt strikes the one that was on Lilith, and the bolt comes through his forehead. He falls down and voids his bowels when he hits the ground. Fate rolls from both the two people who are incapacitated.
It's a d6.
It is.
4.
Yeah, they're still in the disabled land. All right. It brings to the top of the new round. Fast turns.
Fast turns.
Don't have any on me, too. Okay.
There are two left on. Both of the last two remaining are on shelf.
How does he kick? I mean, does he? Are like?
I'm okay.
You haven't been injured. Okay.
Well, I got hit once. I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm just gonna hit this dude with my Warhammer. Try to do better than I did last time. That's going to be a 9.
That is not enough, unfortunately.
Hey, can you do something with fortune to make that better? Like roll it with 2 boons or something?
Or turn it into a success?
I don't know what the options
you
are.
Have to use, you can use fortune on your own.
Okay, yeah. I'll spend fortune to make it a success.
All right.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. We got 2 down and 2 hurt badly.
All right. Big money, no whammies. It's going to be 10 damage.
10 damage. He is still up.
He was fresh, right?
But he's injured. Anybody else?
I'm going on slow turn.
Okay. 2 guys are going to press their attack against you.
Okay, go ahead.
21-24 for 14 damage.
All right. Wait. I'm bad at math. Hold on. I'm still up.
And the other one coming at you. That is a 15-18 defense.
That will hit.
7 damage. All right, slow turns.
I run. As fast as I can back to camp.
It's a half mile away.
Well, I'm doing a full move on a slow turn. I'm at least ahead of them.
Okay, there's a lot of laughter as you're running away. But
Do I see No Sir running by? If there is, I jump on him and ride, but I'd go as fast as I can.
No Sir looks at you as he's saying, well, fuck this. And he's like, he just looks at you and says, No Sir. And he gallops away.
Then I head back to camp as fast as I can. Full speed.
Let me get out my other character.
All right, let's take a break.
I was getting ready to run and
turret shots.
I was getting ready to go give Dugan a healing potion.
He's got his crossbow.
Oh, yeah, crossbow, fire a crossbow. And then they're going to dismantle the crossbow, I think. But
it's got defense and it has health. It's a 17.
Yep, give me some damage.
It's crossbow.
6 more damage.
Okay. end of the round, fate roll from you two and you, robot.
6, mother.
You heal 1 damage.
4.
No change?
4.
No change.
All right, so if...
Fast turns.
Can I use a triggered action once I'm awake before that when they make their roll? Or is it still... Is triggered action still...
No, this is into the round stuff.
Right.
So...
It's outside of the round, so you can't use a triggered action.
Well, what's the trigger?
When someone makes a fate roll.
Oh. Then, yeah, you could have.
All right, so...
You order fate rolls whenever you want.
All right, so sacrifice an incapacitated creature you can see would make a fate roll. You can use a triggered action to expend the casting of this spell to change the number they rolled to a 6.
Okay.
So he still has to crank you.
Actually, no, then I'm not going to do him because he's going to be cranked. So.
Okay.
Right, so you
heal 1 damage.
Heal 1 damage.
Yay.
All right. So at least
we're not
you're running
yet.
Still. All right.
Yeah. Pause this motherfucker.
Hey, I was going to go give Dugan a healing potion until he dropped, and then I said, no, fuck this.
All right. What do we got?
All right. Fast turns. You guys are both prone.
And nothing's near me at this second, right?
Not yet.
You can prepare an action so that you can extra boon when you attack him.
Or can just drink my healing potion.
Yeah, do it. Or do you have your recovery.
Catch my breath.
Yeah. All right, you're catch. That's a trick. You're a warrior.
It's true. Yeah, I can use that.
So you catch your breath and suck a potion down.
Yeah.
Yep. Keep in mind your potion doesn't go into effect till the end of the round. Everybody else going fast.
Now. Yeah, I'm going fast. I am going to inject myself with a triggered action so that I heal with a healing potion. And I am going to, and there's 2 left.
Yep.
All right, one much more injured than the
one's
other.
One's injured, one's not.
All right, so then the injured one is going to take a wrench to the face.
If you can dodge a wrench,
dodge a ball.
I need to roll this dice. Natural 20.
Beautiful.
Plus a lot, so it's going to do...
By 5.
All right, and the target becomes impaired until the end of the round.
Oh, we're so going to kill these
7 buttons. Damage.
And he drops.
You counted us out.
You
damage yourself. Lilith is already back.
Do
I have a chance of hearing combat continuing?
That bitch is getting grounded when she rolls up.
Only a move away.
Yeah, you're only 10 yards away.
Okay.
Like, oh, wait a minute. Sorry for abandoning you.
It's still
you.
Fast.
Hey, everybody was down.
Anybody else want to go fast?
Yeah, he does.
You.
Mage.
Yeah, this one, little girl.
Do I see the one that he just threw the wrench at?
That one's dead.
Okay, then the other one I'll
cast. Got a wrench sticking out of
I'm going to cast harm on it. 23?
Yep.
His health takes 10, minus 10 to health.
Oh, shit.
Boom.
That's probably all, but.
That's still up. He's not looking good, though. He looks like he's been on a bender.
Oh, right. slow?
Or his fast turn.
My fast turn, I'm going to run the fuck away.
Yeah. Tables and turn, motherfucker.
Crossbow has long range. 17 plus 4, 21.
Yep.
Like, how long is medium range? Is he within 20 medium?
Take 14 damage.
Yeah, he drops.
Crossbow turn. Crossbow.
Now we'll take one.